Christmas is over for Terry Lee, young American lad who is in the Chinese town of Minchao in the Kunlun Mountains. But the holidays have been exciting ones for Terry and his friends, Pat Ryan, April Kane, Burma, Jude Hennick, and Connie. They saw the destructive effects of a new type of gas, a gas that destroys anything made of steel. They were able to find and save the famous Dr. Moy Ben, and they caught the handsome crook, Kennington Hook, but they didn't keep him long. I'll explain why in just a moment, but first, here's a part of this transcribed story you'll find interesting. Terry and the Pirates is brought to you by the makers of Libby's Tomato Juice, one of Libby's 100 famous foods. I think you'll agree to this, all right, that when a food is served to the soldiers in Uncle Sam's big training camp, that food is good for you, because nobody needs top-notch health more than a soldier, and nobody has his food planned more carefully to see that it's right. So you'll be interested to know that the soldiers in the camps are getting tomato juice to help them keep fit so they can take that military training. Now, there's no reason in the world why you shouldn't be getting Libby's tomato juice regularly, too. The kind you get is Libby's because it tastes so good. Believe me, this tomato juice of Libby's is top for flavor. It's fresh from prize tomatoes, red ripe tomatoes. It's the most refreshing drink you ever rolled down your throat. And it's rich in food values that'll help you keep feeling fine. Libby's tomato juice brings you vitamin C, lots of it. Actually, this keen-tasting tomato juice is an excellent source of vitamin C and of vitamin A. And it supplies vitamins B1 and G as well. So tell your mother you'd like to start drinking Libby's tomato juice. Ask her if she won't please get you some tomorrow. It's a good plan to drink a big cold glass full of this swell-tasting juice every single day. Now remember, Libby's tomato juice. L-I-B-B-Y-S. And now, Terry and the Pirates. And now back to Terry and his friends. As they were getting ready to enjoy their Christmas dinner in the long cabin near Minchao, the dragon lady suddenly appeared with her man, Keel. She released Kennington Hook and forced Jude Hennick to turn over to her certain valuable gas formula papers. Then the dragon lady, together with Hook and Keel, flew away in a plane. But Jude Hennick had pulled a clever trick on that trio. He had substituted fake papers for the real ones, so the dragon lady got nothing of value. Well, let's join Terry and Pat in the log cabin.
That's a comfortable sound. You know it isn't the invader's planes, eh?
Oh, how do you know it is?
By the sound. Besides, those planes are coming into land, and the invaders won't land here.
Well, say, if those are regular Chinese Army planes, why, maybe we can get out of here.
Yes, April and Burma will be glad to leave this cabin.
Well, they won't go until Dr. Moore Ben has been taken care of. He's still pretty weak. We couldn't leave him here, even if we could.
I know, but the Army ought to take him over. Put him in a hospital. Give him a chance to recover.
Hey, we got company? Sounded like an automobile pulling up the road. Yeah, come here, Pat. It's Jude, and I think it's General Tang and somebody else.
Yeah, it's the General, all right. Hope everything's okay.
I suppose the General wants to see Dr. Moy Bannon.
I hope that's all.
Hi, Jude.
Hi, Pat.
Come in.
Come inside, gentlemen. Well, it's good to see you again, General.
And I am happy to know that you and your friend survived the many difficulties that have beset you since last we met. Mr. Ryan, greetings. Mr. Terry Lee, you appear most well.
Well, except for the excitement, we've had a nice vacation up here, sir.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hennick has explained about the strange gust that descended upon Minchao and caused the destruction of steel products. A most unhappy event. Yet it has proven beyond doubt the value of that more than gas for use against our enemies.
Yeah, we made a short tour of the town. The General was saying the effects of the gas.
I don't believe I've met this other gentleman, Dirty.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry. On the contrary, the area is of my making, Mr. Hennick. Mr. Ryan, Terry Lee, permit me to present an American gentleman, Mr. Samuel Cribbins.
Yes, How do you do?
Hey, what's all this talk about gas turning steel to ashes? Well, I've been on pins and needles ever since I flew in here. Talk of gas. I don't understand. Don't understand at all. We can't have that.
Quite all right. The danger is past, Mr. Cribbins.
Yeah, well, I don't mind danger, just as I understand it. Danger's my business. The same as yours. But I'm worried about my camera equipment. Worried about that. Worried very much about that. A lot of steel in cameras, you know. And if it turned to ashes, Where'd I be? Where would I be?
Your movie camera is quite personal, Miss Scribble.
Movie camera? You going to take pictures of Min Chow, sir?
Me? Oh, no. I can't handle a camera. Well, I know this not very well. No, I came here as an observer to make arrangements.
Well, that's fine. Say, dude, did you make arrangements for our crowd to leave Min Chow?
Well, you see, Pat, it's like this.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I don't like the way you say that.
Oh, I haven't said anything yet. In fact, I'd better let General Tang explain.
Now, don't say there's some army rule that prevents us from leaving here.
No, quite to the contrary, Mr. Ryan. You and your friends are at liberty to leave Montau by airplane, if you so desire.
Well, now, here, go. Wait a minute there. Say, that's not right, General. Where do I come in there? I flew all the way from Chongqing to see Mr. Hennig and Mr. Ryan, and now you say they can leave immediately?
Yes, I did, and that is quite true. I cannot compel them to remain.
Well, I'm all confused, General. I wonder if somebody would take over and talk to us.
Okay, Pat, I'll do it. Let's sit down. There's no use standing here. As you know, the snow has melted. The flying weather is good, so a flock of army planes arrived a short while ago.
Yeah, we heard him.
I met General Tang when he arrived, told him all that had happened. Then I was introduced to Mr. Samuel Tribble.
Oh, yes, Mr. Tribble. That's me.
Yes, I know.
What about me?
Mr. Samuel Tribble is in charge of a movie newsreel company.
Yes, but the Chinese branch only. We're all American company, you understand. We're all
now,
American.
As near as I can figure out, Mr. Tribble wants certain pictures taken of the Burma Road.
Yes, I
see. It's in the news, you know. And Mr. Tribble isn't willing or able to risk his hide, so he wants to hire us to do the picture-taking job.
Well, I'll be a monkey's nephew. You hear that, Terry?
You mean we're going to be newsreel cameramen?
We're not going to be anything yet. This is some half-baked idea from the head of Mr. Hennig, and it doesn't sound so good.
No, wait, Pat. Don't go popping off till you hear the entire proposition.
Now, look, Judy. Do you know there's going to be trouble along the Burma Road?
Ah, that old stuff. There's been bombing and general stuff and things all the way from Rangoon to Chongqing.
Then you know what I mean. Why should I risk my neck to get a few feet of film for some dilly picture company back in the United States? Why should anybody?
Mr. Ryan, pardon. I'm afraid we have all gotten off to a bad start. Permit me to explain the purpose of this meeting.
I'm sorry, General. Didn't mean to pop off about it.
That is quite all right, Mr. Ryan. Now then, gentlemen, the Chinese government at Chongqing has moved for pictures of the Burma Road. Motion pictures, ordinary pictures, from which new maps and charts and plans can be drawn. Our government does not have the essential facilities for this work, and through your United States agencies, we were put in touch with Mr. Samuel Tribble.
Yes, Cripple.
Mr. Tribble represents one of the largest motion picture newsreel organizations in the world.
Well, he's perfectly right. Why, my company makes more newsreel shots than any other outfit put together. Now, as a matter of fact, than all the outfits put together. I'll say that, I mean it, yes. Why, we take pictures in every corner of the globe. We're the eyes, ears, the nose, and the throat of the entire world.
Well, that's just ducky. Yes. But where do we come into the picture?
Now, I've been flying the ship for the Chinese Army, Pat, you know that. And I know the Burma Road pretty well.
Okay. So what?
Simply this. The Chinese government is inviting you to act as an official Army photographer to make pictures for Army use.
Yes, and if you should come back alive, and some of your pictures are released by the center, my company has the right to use them, you understand? Of course, this in exchange for the raw film and camera equipment we supply into the Army.
That's quite right, and I believe Mr. Hennig and Mr. Tribble have stated my case much better than I could.
Say, Pat, this sounds mighty exciting.
Mighty exciting. I don't see why you're worried.
Well, but you can't take pictures alone, Pat. Dude can fly the plane, but it takes more than one man to operate and manage a camera.
Yes, the young man, press the right. You need help. You
and naturally,
help.
You gentlemen will be paid by the government for your services.
Well, I'm willing. I'd like to have a job taking pictures of the Burma Road.
Well, then, as soon as we arrange all the details, and have a conference tonight.
A conference?
Well, sure, everybody has conferences. At least in Hollywood, we have conferences. That's the thing to do, you
know. Well, that's a good time to hold one, Tribble.
What?
Tell me, dude. What about Burma and April and Connie?
I thought about that, Pat. We'll fly the girls back to Chongqing. Connie can go with us to help carry the camera and film.
As easy as that, eh? Well, I happen to know that Burma doesn't want to go to Chongqing.
All right, so we'll fly him to Singapore.
We could do that, Pat.
So we fly him from Min Chau to Singapore. Across the mountains, down the Burma Road, across Thailand to Rangoon, and then down to Singapore. What's so safe about that? That's about the most dangerous trip a plane can make right now.
Well, you think of something better.
Well, Pat, suppose we talk it over with April and Burma.
Well, I have a feeling, Terry, that Burma and April aren't going to go to Chongqing and take up knitting.
Well, why don't you let them decide that for themselves?
Yeah, Pat. And meanwhile, well, do we take the newsreel camera job?
You know, I've got as much chance against you and Dude as a pea shooter in an air raid. You're both set on doing this thing, eh?
For the Chinese government, Pat.
Yeah, that's the big reason why
we... Baloney. Both of you monkeys are looking forward to adventure and fun. And you'll use any excuse to get started.
Well, that's fine. That's very fine. It's all settled then, gentlemen. Now, let's go off to the airfield, get cameras and supplies.
Pardon, that can wait a moment, Mr. Tibbers. I want to go into the other room and see Dr. Moore then, sir. Make arrangements for his removal.
Oh, yes. He's in that room over there, General. I'd sort of forgotten about him and all this new work and...
I should also like to pay my respects to Miss Kane and the woman, Burma, if I may.
Yes, I'll try and find the girls. They must be around.
Thank you. Wait, just a moment. Listen. That is the motor of a strange plane. I can tell it. It is not one of our planes.
Yeah, that's so. Hey, not one of the invaders' planes, either.
But if it were an airy, the Mincho sirens would have sounded a warning.
The plane seems to be almost overhead. Can't see it from the window. But...
Listen.
And then, as these people in the cabin waited tensely, the plane unleashed its cargo of hate. But good luck was again with our friends. The bombs missed their mark and dropped on the wooded slopes beyond, where they did no damage. And then, without waiting, the plane zoomed away, and there was a sigh of relief.
What's going on here? I come over here to do business, and somebody dropped a bomb on me?
I can't permit that. No,
wait. That plane. If it wasn't one of the invaders, then it could only be... You're going to say a mouthful, dude, and you're going to be right.
Yes, gentlemen. That was one of the Dragon Lady's planes. It came back to bomb this cabin in revenge for the trick Mr. Hennick played on the Dragon Lady. Gentlemen, might I suggest we move everything of value before another bomb finds its mark?
So the Dragon Lady did return, but only to drop a bomb in the hopes of wiping out everyone in the cabin. But now, what of this new and dangerous job which Jude, Pat, and Terry are going to do? I'm sure they'll have an exciting time on the Burma Road. And I'm also sure of something else, which I'll tell you of in just a moment. Listen, boys and girls, do you want to taste something extra special swell? Well, then ask your mother to get Libby's tomato juice. You never tasted a grander drink. All the goodness of really ripe tomatoes, fresh off the vine. And this tomato juice is just as good for you as it is delicious. Another drink you'll be sure keen about is Libby's pineapple juice, a grand and glorious juice of full, ripe Hawaiian pineapple. Libby's tomato juice and Libby's pineapple juice, they're top in good drinking. Well, I was going to say that I'm sure our friends will encounter the Dragon Lady again. And this time, she'll hold the whip hand. For the Burma Road is most important to this bandit leader. You'll learn the thrilling things in this transcribed adventure. So, keep that big date with Terry and the Pirates tomorrow.